mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
It's about time Adam Schefter got to work for us. We did put him to work. We did give him an assignment. He is going to make some calls and see what is the market for Davante Adams and what would it take to get him. What is the money? So what is the market and what is the money? That's what Adam Schefter is going to dig on. Hopefully he'll let us know what he hears. Maybe it'll be next week. Maybe it'll be sooner. We will, of course, keep you informed on that. The reason we bring it up, of course, is because Chewy feels very strongly that the Packers need a wide receiver one. And while, Chewy, you don't love the fact that he is 32 going on 33, you do think this is a glaring space that the Packers have missed on, right?
Yes.
What's the value of having it?
Well, they didn't miss on it. It's just...
Nobody evolved.
No one evolved, you know. And maybe it's sophomore, junior year, sophomore slump. But, like you take Jaden Reed, and we've all heard it. Not good against man-to-man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you get better against man-to-man either. You know what I'm saying? But things like that, if they're going to roll it back, yeah, I'd be scared as hell.
I feel very strongly that leadership matters. I feel very strongly that you need to have a presence. You need to have sort of a guiding captain, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that while Josh Jacobs, by all accounts, has been fantastic on the offensive side of the ball, I think they need somebody in the wide receiver room to sort of be that, in case of emergency, break glass. We're in a tough situation here, and Jordan Love is scanning the field, and he's going through his progressions, and we need to move the chains, and boop, there's the guy. And I think Davante Adams, based on what I saw this past year with Aaron Rodgers, can still be that guy. Here's what I'm interested in with what Adam Schefter is going to dig on us. The last two times that Davante Adams has gone to other teams, he's been very specific, Gabe, about where he's going. Mm-hmm. He went to Las Vegas to play with Derek Carr, his former teammate in college. And he went to New York to play with Aaron Rodgers, his former teammate in Green Bay. I think Davante Adams likes having control over where he lands. I don't think he wants to just go wherever the market dictates or to whoever the top bidder is. I think he wants to have a say. And that's why there's a part of me that thinks that this marriage, potential marriage, between Green Bay, reunion, if you will, could work out because there's familiarity there and he would be able to step into that leadership role, and also his experience in Green Bay would put him ahead of the curve.
Yeah, but how interested is Goody in having that experience in that room? He's had opportunities to add to experience to that room, has showed zero interest in it. Zero interest over the last couple of seasons.
But wasn't that when he was hoping, as Chewy mentioned, that the guys who he had in the room might step up, might fill that void? And now he has a full season's worth to say, that didn't happen.
Yeah, but if he's looking for leadership, I guess he's hoping that in the last year of his deal that Romeo Doubs can be that leader. Or now that Jaden Reed's been in the league, hey, you can step up. You can be that guy. The way that Tucker Kraft was talking about, hey, he's been in the league a couple of years. Now he needs to be a better leader. He needs to be more vocal about when things aren't going right.
Is there anything we know about Romeo Doubs, though, that indicates he can be a leader? And I'm not trying to diss the guy. I'm not trying to sit here and, like, take him out. Mm-hmm. But, like, just from a personality standpoint, I don't see it. And again, that means you can still be a very good wide receiver in the NFL and not be a leader. Brandon Marshall comes to mind for me when I was covering the Chicago Bears. Brandon Marshall wanted nothing more than to be the vocal leader in that locker room. Some of the guys looked at Brandon Marshall and were like, you're kind of a clown, man. Like, and so it wasn't
But Romeo Doubs' teammates don't look at him like that. They had his back to a man.
Sure.
To a man.
But just from a personality standpoint, does he seem like the guy who can kind of rally the troops or like get guys motivated? And I don't mean that these guys need to be motivated because they're all intrinsically motivated. You have to be to play in the league. But just like when you think of a bona fide leader, I don't see it. And again, I'm not trying to take the guy out. This is more of an indictment shoe of the whole room saying, I don't see that personality there.
It's not so much a leader. It's someone that's good. You know? I mean, when I was playing in, you know, my heyday, fourth, fifth year, I didn't go to Jeff Bartram, the back third string tight end, and go, hey, what did I do there? You know what I mean? It just doesn't work. And Gabe, me and you have watched enough film where the attention to detail is not very good. It's not very good. So if you're going to be critical of the defensive line coach who underperformed, you got to be critical of the receiver coach, because I could sit there and watch film. That's one thing. Holmgren always said, You let the little crap go, eventually you're going to get the big crap go. And I've seen it with Wicks in this last game running a route at 14 yards when it should have been probably 10 to 12. And I'd sit there and go, what are you doing? Do you understand that the quarterback has a set amount of time and the depth of the routes are based upon how much time we think he is going to have? Do you understand that 14 yards doesn't work? I don't think there's any of that. There's no attention to detail. There's Gabe, and we sat there.
Yeah.
I'm like, put it in the ground and come back to the quarterback.
Okay, so chew.
Not put it in the ground and float and round the thing off.
Of the candidates, though, in that room right now, who is most likely to be that person who can say, hey, that wasn't right?
I don't think they have one. Christian Watson, I've said from day one when he got here, and he's a good guy, and he can be a vocal leader, but he is not a good route runner, you know? Like I said, I didn't get my knowledge from Mike Bartram. I got it from Keith Jackson when he came in because Keith Jackson was a hell of a player. And he'd say, you ever think about this wiggle move at the top? I'm like, no, I'll try it. Okay, you know what? Worked.
Well, did it work for you?
I had my moments.
You had wiggle?
I had my moments, you know? But I maybe didn't, but I took it from a guy who was pretty damn good yes. telling me what to do. I don't think they have that. What? This whole youngest team in the league is a bunch of crap. What do you get for that? A medal? Is there a medal that, hey, we're youngest team? Ooh, everyone line up for your ribbons at halftime. Who the hell cares?
And that's why, as much as I would love Devontae, especially because I think you're right, Jen. I think he can do all those things that you want him to do. He can be the Keith Jackson to these young receivers or the Ed West when you were a younger guy, the way that you relied on Ed. Like, I think he can be that. But the Packers, the last 2 years, haven't shown any interest in bringing in any sort of veteran help over there to be like, hey, a veteran can really help this team. Like, Goody hasn't shown any interest in that. So as much as I would love nothing more than Devontae Adams to be a part of this team once again to help them out, I don't want to get my hopes up that Goody's going to do something that's so drastically out of character for
Except
him.
Except that what he has done hasn't worked. Right? Unless he squints, like I always reference that lady with the big glasses where she's bending over and she's squinting to see. Unless he squints, everybody would say that what you have done and being committed to being the youngest, especially at this position, hasn't worked. It hasn't gotten you to where you are. So why not try the other thing? Why not think about, consider the other thing that might be the missing piece, that might be the difference between where you are and where you want to be?
I mean, the counter is, well, we're the youngest team in the league. We're growing. Like the natural progression of things
yeah,
is that
these
guys are going to get better. But that, I would say it's not like this team completely fell flat on their face and failed.
No.
What I'm saying? Like yeah. I'm just trying to get into Goody's mind of, hey, this thing, yeah, okay, we didn't win the Super Bowl. We were the youngest team in the league. We've got these young guys. We're going to continue to grow together.
But we don't measure the Brewers by beating the Pirates and beating Cincinnati, mm-hmm. right? You should win those. So who gives a rip?
Yeah,
like, right? Let's see you compete against the Dodgers. Let's see you compete against the Yankees.
Chew, I'm with you.
Yeah, no,
I'm just trying to get into Goody's mind. Like,
yeah. I don't know if it's a cheapness because young players obviously are cheaper than vested players, or it's a badge of courage. Like, we're the youngest team. Or is it an excuse?
I don't know if
we're not good because we're the youngest team.
Well, I don't know if they've looked at the numbers, right, Gabe?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a cheapness thing. It's a control thing. Like, hey, we have a young, controllable asset. So now if we have to spend money to make Zach Tom a well-paid right tackle, we've got the money to pay Zach Tom. We've got the money to pay Jordan Love. We've got the money to, unfortunately, pay Rashawn Gary, right?
Yeah.
Like, so when those guys that you draft do hit, you're not locked up into these long-term deals. You've got controllable assets, and then it allows you to pay the guys as you go.
Okay, when we were talking about this morning in the production meeting, just to pull back the curtain a smidge, I said to you guys, there's a part of me that wonders if Goody is reluctant to reunite with Devontae Adams because of Devontae Adams' relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And Goody has done a great job of getting rid of all of the guys who were aligned with Rodgers, who were friends with Rodgers. And you said to me what, Gabe? If, and again, this is a hypothetical conversation we are having during the production meeting, you said if
Oh.
That drives it what?
That's bad GMing.
That's GM malpractice,
yeah,
right?
You can't do that, man.
Okay, so hold on. I don't want to go down that well. But yeah. What I want to say is, couldn't you also argue that it is GM malpractice to keep doing the same thing you have been doing over and over again if the results aren't giving you what you want? And from a offensive standpoint, guys, the way the offense looked in the last 3 weeks of the season and into the playoffs was not good. It was doo-doo. And so there's a part of me that says, Goody, you have to take a hard look in the mirror. You have to say, I like being the youngest wide receiver core. I like being the youngest team in the league. But at certain positions, you need some veteran leadership. At certain positions, you need the in case of emergency, break glass, security blanket option. Wide receiver is one of them. And I got to change my spots. I got to do something that is uncharacteristic and go out and spend money at that position.
The worst thing that can happen on a team, on any team, okay, you're going to miss draft picks, right? You're going to miss them. I'll never forget the first time I went against Antoine Edwards. I'm like,
didn't think we'd get into Antoine Edwards talk
today. How is this guy a first-round pick? The hell, were you drunk, Ron? or what? You know, that's one thing. You're going to screw up on picks. You cannot screw up on players who are being paid the highest in the league who don't perform.
Yeah.
That's where you get fried.
Yep.
That's where you get fried with Rashawn Gary.
Mm-hmm.
You get fried with Kenny Clark, who was good, but he's getting paid a boatload of money and he didn't do squat this year. That's where, when your A's play like B's, you don't have a chance. You do not have a chance. And Jordan Love, who is now an Uber A player, what'd we give him for a grade?
B minus?
You can't have that.
I just think it's interesting philosophically, because it sounds like we are all in agreement that they need to address that role specifically. Not just the position, but that role specifically. Chewy, you're saying probably not Devontae because he's too old for you. But Gabe, you're saying I'd be interested if the price was right for Devontae. When we go back to Goody and we talk about the wide receivers, Goody wanted them to evolve. When does Goody evolve? When does Goody look at what he has done and say, all right, what I've done has gotten me to this spot, and it's been pretty damn good. But if I want to get to the next spot on the ladder, I'm going to have to tweak. I'm going to have to change. And he did this past year by going out and getting Xavier McKinney, by going out and getting Josh Jacobs, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
Those were things that traditionally he didn't do in the offseason game.
Yeah, I mean, he had done it previously. I mean, the big 2019 haul. And the difference there is those guys are still in their mid-20s. He didn't go out and spend a bunch of money on somebody who's 32, 33 on the back end. And I think that's what he wants to avoid. And to be honest, like your options are at that wide receiver position, like you have to pay such a premium. Like if you want to go and get T. Higgins, that's $30 million. I don't think Goody wants to do that either, right? So to finding the sweet spot, like finding the Goldilocks just right that we're talking about, I don't know if that exists of a 27, 28-year-old wide receiver that's not going to break the bank and yet be respected enough that he can be the leader, be productive on third down. Like guys like that get paid, and rarely are they going to leave their teams. So trying to find that sweet spot, it just doesn't exist.
Lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless talk and text line. Jared says, I remember giving up on Adams after his second year. He was not good when they needed him to step up because of injuries. So I'm not ready to give up on these young guys, but I agree they need to get a number one to help them grow. Justin says, I've been saying it forever. Goody thinks he's smarter than everyone. He's very stubborn about looking inward on changing his process. He literally just said he doesn't think Love needs a wide receiver one. Once again, at his press conference last week, Ryan says, would you sign Adams if you could get him for 2 years, $40 million? Panel.
I mean, the big scare is injury. You know what I mean?
I mean, it basically, I'm assuming the way that a deal would be structured.
Is
you could get out of it after 1 year
20,
pretty easily.
Yes. I would. Yeah.
I do think it's interesting that we seem to have forgotten that Goody built the team he has that we have right now in front of us because they got so old.
Mm-hmm.
There was an age problem with that team where the pieces were getting older and deteriorating. So to think that he's going to stay with the youngest team forever, I think is sort of prisoner of the moment. I think he prefers youth, But I also think you had to get out from underneath that and build yourself a core of young players to then supplement with veterans. Now, he's not going to sign 32, 33, 34-year-olds most likely, but do we not expect him to add veterans this offseason at all? Like, he preached the urgency.
Josh, I fully expect him to. I just don't know if I expect him at that position.
Right.
Because, like, that position, to find a Xavier McKinney, to find a Josh Jacobs, like, I just don't think that exists at that position. Like, I fully expect, I don't know if it's going to be offensive line depth. I don't know if he's going to find a corner that he likes. Maybe he finds, you know, the next Za'Darius Smith, somebody who, like, career-high 8 sacks. You sign him to a reasonable deal, and next thing you know, he explodes, becomes an all-pro for you. I expect him to do something like that. I don't know if that guy exists at this specific position.
And Josh, just from an order of operations standpoint, it doesn't really behoove the Packers to show any interest in potentially bringing Davante Adams back until he is released.
Correct. Yeah, you're not going to say that you're interested in a T. Higgins or a Davante Adams. You're not going to put that stuff out there because, I mean, the Packers...
Strategery.
The Packers talk about it all the time. Sometimes we get used as the team that's going to be the one interested in something to drive up value. Like, sometimes we're not even interested.
Drive up the price, exactly.
So, like, do they come away with a wide receiver one in free agency? I don't know. I would almost bet against it. But I do trust them to make investments in the position to try and improve. And I don't think that would be a death knell to the season if they don't acquire that.
They're going to have to because Watson is not...
Right, you got to do
something.
He's
not going to be 100% at the beginning of the season, so you have to.
Expecting that second round pick, not the first round, I'm expecting that second round pick to be a wide receiver.
Chef Ed says, sometimes Goody's ego gets in the way, thinking he has to do it his way, when this golden opportunity with Davante is sitting right in front of him. And Augie from Fredonia says, Chewy had wiggle like Ted Thompson had sizzle.
Thank you very
much. 1 to 5. How much wiggle did you have?
19.
What did your mom always say? No. Self-praise stink to you. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee, you are missing out on an elite experience. It is a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue with dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, VIP deck, and the broadcast booth where we do weekly wager tonight. Back with Weekly Wager tonight. Video wall that is over 2,000 square feet. If you're short on time, 20-minute free parking in the structure. They have figured it all out. Bet above the rest, only at Potawatomi.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right, Ben? Back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Great conversation there about Davante Adams and potentially reuniting with the Green Bay Packers if you missed any of it. You can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep your reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. We asked this of Adam Schefter earlier this morning. And Josh, I really like this. I like this idea of, look, the Lions are losing their offensive and likely defensive coordinator. That hasn't been official yet. It's just that he's interviewing for all these jobs. Vikings just re-upped with their head coach, but they have a quarterback situation they have to figure out. Bears just hired a head coach, and they have Caleb Williams, but it's still the Bears. And while I think there is optimism, certainly in Chicago, that's going to be one of those show-me situations.
It's amazing how much, like, Ben Johnson, obviously very good offensive coordinator, like, genius. The second he put on a Bears hat, and I saw that picture yesterday,
dopey.
He looks like a dope.
Right?
Like, for whatever reason, looks a lot better, looks to me, just looks like he's a lot more in charge wearing a Lions hat. He threw on that Bears hat with that curse of B.
Well, is it like a flat brim? Did it not get, like, bent in? Did he not get to do the thing?
No, I don't know.
It's the generational stink.
Yeah, that could just be it.
It's wearing off.
Like, he just looked like a dope wearing that hat. I don't know. It just, like, honestly, it made me feel better about him going there. Like, look at this guy. I'm supposed to be scared of this?
Oh, you're talking about Chew?
I am scared of that.
a little tassel back there. So we asked Adam Schefter which of the teams in the NFC North, which again was a very good division in the regular season, but then bowed out unceremoniously in the postseason, do you think is going to have the most success cumulatively over the next 5 years? And I think it's easy to point to the Packers because their level of success, guys, is more even. We would like for there to be a few more peaks. We would like for there to be a Super Bowl appearance. We would like for there to be an NFC Championship win in there. But when you look at these other teams, they have been very, very low and have just continued to ascend. So is your confidence level highest for the Packers because they have shown an ability to at least be consistently good and occasionally great, Gabe?
Yeah, I think they're on a plan. And even though I'm sure Detroit has a plan to replace their coordinators, it's going to be tough to do that. Like when you lose both coordinators because they're so respected across the league, it's going to be tough to replace both those guys. Josh, you mentioned a lot of quarterback decisions that have to be made in Minnesota. Like how much, you know, now that Sam Darnold ended the season the way he did, do they just move on, go to J.J. McCarthy, who's basically going to be a rookie after having the ACL injury? Yeah, the Bears are going to be better next year because I think it's going to be hard to be worse after having a 10-game losing streak in there. But how much better can they potentially be than they were a year ago?
I think the offensive side of the ball's more important than defense. I think defense, if you go out a guy that's done it, that's proven, like I don't anticipate Saleh getting a head coaching job this year. So
I get that Jacksonville
job. So where's he going to go?
San Francisco.
Yeah, but they're on the downslide, though. Their window's closing.
Yeah, I mean, but he's going to go to San Fran as the D coordinator, and that's just going to be that.
I would go to probably Detroit, you know? Because don't forget, he wants to get another head coaching job, even though I don't think he's a very good head coach. I don't know why people think he is.
Hard to say if he is or isn't. The Jets are a dumpster fire, man.
Yeah, but when Rodgers tore his Achilles, he was terrible, you know? I just go back to 92 when our roster stunk. Sorry, it stunk. And we won 9 games.
Yeah.
You know why? Because 6 of those games, Holmgren won because he was a hell of a coach.
Yeah, but that's also the difference between a Hall of Famer and.
I agree.
Like, Mike's also going to be in Canton.
But as of right now, I mean, obviously, the draft really doesn't matter because you really don't know. And. I mean, who was their biggest contributor from this year's draft?
Well, I mean, they basically had 3 defensive starters from the draft.
Yeah.
Because they had Cooper,
Cooper
Williams.
Cooper was probably the best.
Cooper
right?
was the best. Cooper had the most impact. The most consistent was probably Williams. And then you also got another starter out of Javon Bullard.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm more interested in free agency on how they fill some of these holes. Because based upon right now, I would pick them to do exactly what they did this last year.
Chu, did you have consistency at the coordinator position your entire career?
Well, it really offensively, Holmgren called the plays. So Sherm was just there.
he was there.
We went from Rhodes to Fritz. Early in my career to Fritz, both great D coordinators. So there was more assistant turnover with Mooch leaving. I think Marty left, Morningwig.
Andy eventually left.
But he had so many, I would say, out of the whole staff, 60% of the coaches were really good.
So it's an apples to oranges comparison, so I don't really even want to pull on this thread. But because Dan Campbell is more of the culture, he's more of the vibe of the team, because he isn't involved so much in the play calling, certainly not offensively. So I just wonder, like, that feels to me like it will be a big change. That feels like it will be a big transition. And as much as he wants to say, like, we know who we are, the culture will remain the same. If these two guys are really the best at what they do, and that's what apparently the comments are, and that's what the opinions are, I think they will take a step back. I think that it's going to be very unusual to put somebody in who has that level of success that these two coordinators have had. Am I wrong on that, Gabe?
No, it's going to be an adjustment for sure. Like, it's going to be a huge adjustment.
Not really. Defensively, it will. Offensively, I would assume they're going to promote from within because they're not going to. Their offense was what? Top 5 at least. Maybe top 3.
Might have been 1.
Yeah. So they're not going to come in and bring a guy and say, oh, let's blow it all up and run a new offense. So they're going to promote from within there, which is a smart thing to do. It's just, is this guy a qualified play caller?
Yeah, they were 1 in points, 2 in yards.
So is he a qualified play caller? Defense, you know, there's they're gonna stay with the 4-3.
Yeah.
So they're gonna hire someone that maybe they promote from within. Maybe they don't.
They probably have a plan. So it's not like, oh man, Ben Johnson got a job. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, he was one of the top guys last season as well. So I'm sure there's some sort of plan.
And they were missing.
Again, there's still going to be an adjustment. Like, there's still, I'm sure, a rhythm to whoever is calling those plays. There's going to be an adjustment period.
And so Hutchinson tilts the field.
Sure. Yeah. Speaking of the defense, Detroit Free Press reporting that they have lost their defensive line coach, Terrell Williams. I'm not sure if it's Terrell, to the New England Patriots. So, yeah, the brain drain has begun in Detroit, and obviously it did when the Bears made their decision as well.
Does that tell us anything about Green Bay, though?
What do you mean?
The best person they sent off was Hackett, and he's god-awful. I mean, seriously, they haven't been plucked at all.
I think you could take it different directions, because some guys have been plucked and moved on and ordered around. But
no, some guys left because they hated the D coordinator. That doesn't count.
There's been offensive guys to make their way to other teams and other positions. I also think, wouldn't that lend more credit to Matt LaFleur for having the level of success he's had without having Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn around him?
But the guys that moved on, Josh, he failed.
Yeah, I mean
Luke Getsy failed as an offensive coordinator in Chicago. He was there 1 year, right?
But what is that on Matt LaFleur? If you're not good at your job.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe that's why these receivers plateaued. You know?
Right, but didn't you predict a plateau in the second year for most of these guys? Isn't that kind of the
it's going to be tricky for you, bud. It's going to be tricky for you because
well,
you're going to have to
two of them are in their second year, Watson and Dobbs.
You're going to have to decide here.
I don't know.
You want to be right then?
On advice of counsel,
I
plead the fifth.
It's one of these. You just have to pick which one you want. I'm giving you credit. It's just you got to pick one.
Josh, let me ask you this. Do you feel comfortable that with them rolling it back next year from the receiver room?
No. Not at all.
Okay, that's just what I'm saying.
What if they add a rookie or two? Does that do anything for you?
Not really. I'll be optimistic, but... Like, we were trading Devonta Adams for Jeff Janis not long ago because of the second year now, I'm not predicting Hall of Fame career for any of those guys, but would I be shocked if both Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed are much better in year three? No. Because, but I don't think that's a plan... That's not a good enough plan. Like, even Jacoby Myers from the Raiders would be like, hey, there's a guy you can count on to catch, like, five balls a game.
Yeah, because here's the thing. As high as people were on Romeo Doubs going into the season, and then he had a couple of top games, MVS had more receiving yards through 3 years than Romeo Doubs.
You guys just jumped the track on me?
What?
Did you guys just jump the track again? We were on the receiver track last segment. Now we're on the looking around the NFC North.
Well,
did you guys just jump the track?
Yes.
Well, I know how it started. You think I wonder how we jumped the track or who was responsible for jumping the track?
But I'll tell you this. As a young player, you know, and I'm talking my fourth, fifth year, you know what you don't want to do? You know what you don't want to do? Share time. You don't want to share time. You don't want to play 28 plays a game and the other guy gets that. You don't. You want to play 60 plays, right?
Yeah.
This whole share time is a bunch of garbage, if you ask me.
There needs
to be
a clear pecking order.
Well, but they sold them on that. They did, and they all, good for them, bought
it. But is that for cheapness, Jen? Is that for cheapness?
Maybe. But also, to Josh's point, you had to get out from under some of the aging guys, and you had to start fresh, and so...
I find it hard to believe if they look at... what happened last year and not realize that was a failed experiment.
100%.
We relied on Romeo Doubs too much. He wasn't what we wanted him to be. Wicks clearly struggled being a part-time player. And then when he started playing more, actually looked like a decent receiver late in the season. Like, Jaden Reed fell off because we probably relied on him too much. Like, you have to find the right balance in what those guys all offer. Christian Watson probably should have played more. When we look back at it.
Yeah, look, and he was getting, I mean, he was, I've been banging this drum since the bye. Like, he was the one receiver who was incredibly productive.
Should have been more of a portion of
offense. Whether fans
want
to admit that or not, but I also will bang the drum of where was Tucker Kraft.
Right.
Like, you have to look around the league and say there are teams whose bread and butter on offense is a dependable tight end.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a guy who seems like he could take that step, who seems like he could be that guy. Get him reps. Get him involved. Design plays for Tucker Kraft. More of them. That's, again, I hope that that's something they're working on this offseason. One other note, guys, it sounds like the offensive line coach from Detroit, Hank Fraley, is expected to join the Bears staff as well. So the brain drain continues. And look, I don't want to be a franchise that is over here banking on the brain drain of another team in the division to help our ascension. That's not the goal. But obviously, when you look around the league, it does feel like things could shift because of some of the talent that they are losing in the coaching quarters in Detroit. We got to take a break here on the show. We will continue to roll on after this. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Still taking your reaction to the Paul Skeens one of one baseball card that a kid in LA has found. It's worth about $1 million right now. The Pirates have put together a package. What would you do? Take the money and run? Look at the package, consider it. Or maybe something else. Let us know. I know New Year's is a time when a lot of people want to hit the reset button, whether it's fitness, wellness, or taking better care of themselves. Guys, feeling confident in how you look and feel is not just for the ladies. That's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. From now through March 31st, they are offering special packages to help you start 2025 as a more confident you. Whether it's wellness, weight loss plans, Botox, skincare, or even IV therapy, they've got personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. And guys, Valentine's Day is just around the corner. If you're looking for a gift for the lady in your life, why not consider a Quintessa Aesthetic Center gift card as well? They can choose what to use it on. You don't have to decide because that can get weird. Check it all out at myquintessa.com and make sure this is the year that you feel confident inside and out.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times. Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
I don't.
An incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN. I let it go
because I want to see you later when we're not allowed to talk it out. Palermo's Pizza every week is National Pizza Week. Every month it's National Pizza Month because Palermo's always has something for you. Whether we're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screaming Sicilian, just a variety of crusts, sauces, and toppings that is certainly going to make your taste buds tingle. How do they get away with this? How do they have so many brands and it's so great? Well, they've been doing this in Wisconsin for over 60 years. So when it comes to premium quality frozen pizza, Palermo's knows a thing or two. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on
you. Keep getting us your Skeens one of one reaction. We will bring it to you in the next 20 minutes of the show. Chewy, do you remember when I, in a roundabout way, called you a chicken?
No. How long ago?
Like a week? Maybe more? I don't know.
No.
So you told us that your daughter wanted to go to the Ohio State National Championship game, and you were very good about how you handled it.
Mm-hmm.
You said, well, it's going to cost about $4,000. And do you want me to ask your mom? And did she ever get back to you on
that
text?
She did.
What'd she say?
She said, no, don't worry. I'll just watch it at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Worked perfectly.
Hold on. I feel like there were maybe some other steps in there, right? Because then you came to us 2 days later and you said, welp, guess who's going to Atlanta?
Well, my wife's initial reaction, I can't say on the air when I asked her, but then, see, my daughter's smart. Then she called Ange and was like, oh, my friends are going. I don't know who I'm going to watch the game with. So it's not so much I caved. It's Angie caved.
Somebody caved.
Wow. Yes. But here's the deal. You want me to finish the story?
Well, hold on. Okay. So you told us this. You said, guess who's going to the game? And we were like, no! How did this happen? And you did explain that your wife had kind of, I didn't realize that she kind of bought the sob story.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. That to me is very uncharacteristic of Angie, by the way.
And I knew that this was going to happen. You know, I just sit there and pull strings. Because my wife is
Geppetto over here.
My wife is the big sign, beware of the dog. So if you're delivering the paper, mm-hmm. the dog's going to bark like crazy.
Yep.
Okay. But eventually when you get up to and the owner comes out, the dog like loves you. It's like, oh, I just want attention and I love you. That's what happened. So my daughter calls her up and is like, yeah, I don't know. I'll probably just watch the game in my room. And then Ange is like, okay, you can go.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, all of that talk about how it's so expensive. It was going to be $4,000 with the ticket. And the, by the way, I saw somebody sitting front row that said they spent $8,000 a ticket to go to the game. So $4,000 plus the hotel, plus the airfare. You were like, there's no way this is happening. And then you came to us and told us that, whoopsies, she's going to the game. And then, plot twist, what happened next?
Her friends backed out because it was too expensive and she didn't wind up going. So I played this thing like a fiddle. And, you didn't know that I play the fiddle.
Like a good fiddle or like a screechy,
Zac Brown fiddle guy.
You don't play things like the fiddle. You get played like a fiddle.
This like... conversation was between A and B, so you can see your way out of it, okay?
Before D jumps over E and beats the F out of you.
Didn't anticipate that.
Never heard that retort before, actually.
And I'm going to use it. So, yeah, it worked out fine.
Do things just always come up chewy? Like, it seems like you thought you played it one way, then you didn't play it great, but then it ended up turning out great for you anyway.
He feels like at every turn, he came out on top.
Yes.
Because he deferred to the wife initially, right? So he was the good guy. Mm-hmm. Then the wife said no, so he was the good guy. Then the wife said yes, so you're still the good guy.
Yes.
And then she decides not to go, so you don't have to spend the money, so you're coming out.
It's like I say, it's all about rankings. It's all about power rankings. Right? The kids do that with their grandmother, right?
Okay.
She'll get a text from one of them at 4 o'clock in the morning because they got to be the first one to do it because then they get points.
Mm-hmm. For what, like happy birthday or something? Yeah. What are we talking about?
Happy birthday. And then church is involved because they're all like brown nosers.
Well,
angry, you know?
For the will.
They're after something. But when it comes to us, they don't give a sugar. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Gianna will regret not going to the national championship game?
No, because I'm sure they'll be back there again.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Heard it here first.
Yeah.
Ohio State back in the national championship game. What, next year? How many years will Gianna be in school? See, be careful.
She's got two more.
Ish.
Now she wants to go to law school at BC. Wants me to make calls. No, I'm not doing.
You're not making calls?
What? You've been the good guy this whole time. At least say you're going to make the call.
Wait, you pretend that you love BC. Now you got a kid who wants to go.
I got her in undergrad. Right? This is kind of a Devante thing here. Reverse Devante thing.
Okay, please explain.
Now she wants me to go back? You know I will. I'm just talking big because she's not in front of me right now.
So the beware of dog thing applies to you as well, huh?
Hopefully it times up where their next national championship would be in Tampa, Miami, or something.
Next
like
year's
that.
Miami.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Go OSU.
And I think I saw 27. Again, hopefully she's not still. Well, no, she'll still be. Vegas?
Did I see 27 Vegas? Is Vegas.
Okay. Vegas is terrible.
I'm sure
Vegas.
She'd think the same.
Will she be 20? No, it doesn't really.
It doesn't matter a whole lot.
You bozo. All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We wrap up the show. Get back to your reaction on the Paul Skeens One of One right after this. Tune into the Thanalysis Show every week presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Antetokounmpo hanging out with special guests for fun, surprising conversations. Maybe it's a live show with Giannis, a chat with Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop with Logan Paul, or one of his other unique guests. Find Thanalysis Show on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And you can subscribe to Thanalysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. Thanalysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally we figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
For all the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. It's Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame. Catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now, bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Craig weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Who cares about seats to watch the sorry Pirates? This kid lives in LA. He's probably a Dodgers fan. Take the money, be set for life. Earn King 920 says, I would trade the Paul Skeens card for a signed Chewy jersey and one invite to Blammer Thursday.
Oh, Blammer Thursday.
That's priceless.
We counting down the days?
He went to your school of negotiating, I see.
Well, he could barter with Blammer. He doesn't need money. Bring some potatoes from up north. I believe it was a 920 number.
It was, yeah. We also asked everybody about some of their favorite cards growing up. Casey in the 608 says, I got a Tiger Woods amateur rookie card from Sports Illustrated for Kids in 1996. Found out in the late 2000s it had actually sold for a decent amount of money. Went through my parents' house. Found the issue still in great shape. So sell it or did you keep it?
Sports Illustrated for Kids cards sold? Those things were like
paper, right?
Yeah, they were.
They were terrible. I mean, they were just, you could rip them off.
Yeah.
Like Omar weighing in inserts. He's got a few Roberto Clemente cards.
Ooh, those are always nice.
Very good. Dave from Aaron says, Gabe, I have a Hank Aaron game used signed Braves baseball, $50,000, and it's yours. Hey, maybe we put a few more ads on the YouTube stream and we can come up with the coin. That is something that the loyal listeners on the YouTube comments have been frustrated by.
There are times when I wonder who has all this money and where it comes from. Whenever you start talking about how high some of the sports memorabilia goes, like some of the jerseys that go for millions of dollars, like who has money to spend millions of dollars on a jersey you're going to hang in your house.
And Dumpy says, guys, take the million to Pottawatomie Sportsbook, put it all on the Brewers to win the World Series because Euchre will be angels in the outfield for us all year long.
I like it.
We'll see you at Pottawatomie this evening for weekly wagers 6 to 7. Joshy will be there.
Joshy's hot.
Still deciding if I'm going to go. I'm boycotting. Wildy and Tausch is next.
We do have some delays on northbound 4394 coming up.